Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio. How you doing? Did you have a good weekend? It is Monday, isn't it? Is this Monday? It is Monday. Yeah, okay. Another 3 hours of Monday. It's
like a watercolor painting that's been left outside in a rainstorm. Things are getting a little bit difficult to delineate, to outline, to say, well, this is a square, this is a triangle, that's a circle. Crazy times. We're going to cover some of Barack Obama's, what he said today, speaking about the economy and energy independence after prior to his signing the bill that allows states to determine for themselves how much crap they want flowing out of the tailpipes of automobiles, including their air. The Bush crime family and its minions in corporate America, of course, didn't want any of that. But come on, you're crazy. So we'll have a little bit of that. Also, it's time to declare the moratorium off where it concerns criticism of Barack Obama's policies. And criticism doesn't mean bad-mouthing or running them down or saying they suck or they're bad or whatever. Criticism means what it says, criticism. You can be a critic without being a negative critic, right? What are we going to cover tonight? Oh, of course, the economy, the situation of the economy. Can it get worse? Well, the quick answer is yeah, but today's news was pretty spooky. First, Bill sent me a link to Amazon.com. to a toy that is on sale there. I wish you could see it. It's a security checkpoint. It's a toy. Did I show this to you, Kathy? A security checkpoint. You see, it's three little dolls. One is going through the airport security checkpoint. The other one is sitting in a chair manning the X-ray machine, and the third doll is standing there with a magnetic wand or whatever the hell it is, getting ready to wave it over this this person. And it's a toy. It's a toy you can buy your kid. And you know how they have product comments about what's being sold, people who buy it, product comments. And I wanted to share just a couple with you. This is for real. This is from someone in Seattle who headlines his review of this toy, Great Lesson for the Kids. And his review says, I was a little disappointed when I first bought this item because the functionality is limited. My five-year-old son pointed out that the passenger's shoes cannot be removed. Then we placed a deadly fingernail file underneath the passenger's scarf, and neither the detector doorway nor the security wand picked it up. My son said, quote, that's the worst security ever, end quote. But it turned out to be okay because when the passenger got on the Playmobil B757 and tried to hijack it, Playmobil Boeing 757, and tried to hijack it, she was mobbed by a couple of other heroic passengers who only sustained minor injuries in the scuffle, which were then treated at the Playmobil hospital. The best thing about this product is that it teaches kids about the realities of living in a high-surveillance society. My son said he wants the Playmobil neighborhood surveillance system set for Christmas. I've heard that the CCTV cameras on that thing are pretty worthless in terms of quality and motion detection. So I think I'll get him the Playmobil Abu Ghraib interrogation set instead. It comes with a cute little memo from George Bush. There were 1,300 reviews. Or no, there are actually 3,000 reviews. Here's another one. Thank you, Playmobil, for allowing me to teach my five-year-old the importance of recognizing what a failing bureaucracy in an ever-growing fascist state looks like. Sometimes it's a hard lesson for kids to learn because not all pigs carry billy clubs and wear body armor. I applaud the people who created this toy for finally being hip to our changing times. Little children need to be aware that not all smiling faces in uniforms are friendly. I noticed that my child is now more interested in current events. Just the other day, he asked me why we had to forfeit so much of our liberties and personal freedoms, and I had to answer, well, it's because the terrorists have already won. Yes, they have won. I also highly recommend the Playmobil farm fencing, so you can take your escorted airline passenger away and fence him behind bars as if he were in Guantanamo Bay. It's that kind of a review. Jesus God, you ought to read this stuff. This is really good. This is the way you fight back against these son of a bitches. This is the way you fight back. You go to websites like Amazon.com that sells this goddamn garbage, and go ahead and review it. Of the reviews, 115 people used the term police state, 95 used the term tyranny, 91 used fear, 89 used fascism, 86 used martial law, 58 used 1984, 52 used Amazon oddities, 5 used cool. This is one way, in my opinion, to fight back. We still have the web. We still have the web. And more and more, as I don't know, at some point this program may become web-based. There's no plans to do that right now, but Nova M, who knows, may drift in that direction where there's a hell of a lot more freedom to say what one wants to say, and there's more of a sense of an underground aspect, like the way to fight these sons of bitches is to pop up out of a manhole cover when they least expect it. And that's what these reviews at Amazon.com, to me, that's how they impress me. Who would have the audacity to come up with a toy like this? A security checkpoint toy. And it's real. I mean, it's not, unless this is an elaborate hoax, which I just don't think it is. There were too many reviews on this thing. Oh, God. And this is like the toys that proliferate every Christmas time. In celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus, the toy manufacturers come up with stuff that is nothing but death and destruction, right? And then advertise the stuff is at Amazon. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for sending it, Bill. This is some crazy doo-doo, man. Crazy doo-doo. A security checkpoint toy. Who was it said, give me a child till he's six, I'll give you a Catholic for life? You know, give me a child at a certain age with certain toys to play with, and I'll give you a paranoid little frozen scared to death citizen for the rest of his or her life, right? It seems that the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee, who have to confirm Attorney General designate Eric Holder, are resorting to extortion where it concerns this particular appointment. I still say there is a much more direct way to handle Republicans. It involves a club, a lot of bandages, and things like that. But what the demand is that the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee have asked Eric Holder make a commitment before he's even confirmed that he will not prosecute any Bush administration official for his or her involvement in acts of torture during the Bush crime family's destruction of this country. Well, more on that when we come back. I don't know if this is true or not. It's from the Northwest Progressive Institute. And I have no doubt, given what I've seen and what we've all experienced for the last 8 years, I have no doubt that this is real. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 21 past the hour. So according to Ken Camp at the Northwest Progressive Institute, advocate, in an effort to derail the nomination of Eric Holder to be Attorney General, it seems Republican senators are now resorting to extortion. They'll confirm Holder if he promises not to prosecute any Bush administration official for any involvement in acts of torture. And that's according to Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who is a Democrat from Rhode Island. And, of course, anyone familiar with the criminal justice system, which immediately eliminates all Republicans, should know that a prosecutor can't make a determination about who to prosecute before he has all the facts. And especially not in response to some kind of right-wing Republican, but I repeat myself, legislative pressure or political pressure. This is insane. But the Republicans, you see, the body still standing in this filthy Republican Party in the House and the Senate, they have their functions. All zombies have their functions. And this is what Republicans in the House and the Senate, this is their function. And as Senator Sheldon Whitehouse said about the separation of powers, it isn't for the legislative branch to hold up executive branch appointments in order to extract promises from those appointees, especially with regard to future prosecutions. You can, if you're a Republican, you can hold up a presidential nominee for political reasons if you want to, if you want to be a jackass, especially during these times. But in order to extract promises from the appointees? Now, remember when someone like John Roberts appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee for confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court? The Democrats wanted to ask questions. Republicans would have none of them. What are you doing? What are you asking these questions for? It's hypothetical. How's he know what he's going to do when he's a Supreme Court judge, chief judge? Remember all that garbage, all that mouth diarrhea from the zombies that now control the Republican Party? Remember all that? Sure you do. Sure you do. And one can understand why Obama wants to get beyond the partisan divisions, Ken writes, and look to America's future. That's all well and good. But the United States was founded on the rule of law. If the rule of law were not important, what would separate us from countries like Burma or North Korea? Eh? So if Eric Holder or any other Obama appointee, Ken Camp writes, is subject to confirmation, or any other appointee subject to confirmation by the Senate, were to agree not to investigate alleged wrongdoing Bush administration officials may have committed, it would be an egregious abdication of responsibility, not to mention an act of questionable legal ethics. It would say to future generations, at a time when the Bush administration felt it was above the law, Democrats did nothing but stand idly by and let it happen, and then we'd be no different from them. I don't know what to say that is not hideously redundant. There is nothing that I can say regarding Republicans or the Bush crime family that hasn't been said, that I haven't said over the past 8 years. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I've never seen such a criminal activity in my life. Neither have you. Not single-handedly. They had assistance from Democrats, because the Democrats could have fought back. The Democrats never fought back. The Democrats in the House and the Senate and during Clinton in the White House were a bunch of goddamn cowards, just to the core, to the bone, down to the bone, cowards. What did Bart Kopp call them? Pink tutu Democrats, who had no more the interest of this country at heart than they had the interest of Martians at heart. So the crimes of the Democrats, though, were crimes of cowardice, crimes of omission. The crimes of Republicans, of course, were crimes of venal commission. And there is a difference. There is a difference. Cowardice is horrifying to see, especially when it's in your own political party at the leadership level. But committing criminal acts coldly, calculatingly, and with a full understanding that you're going to get away with it. That's something else again. The undermining of whatever rule of law still remained in this country over the past 15, 20, 25 years, that undermining had better stop or not. If it does stop, we might be able to reclaim some sort of claim to the Constitution of the United States. If we let this slide, and by we I mean the people, and at the top of the people pile is Barack Obama, if we let it slide, then we give up any future claim that we're a nation of laws. You know that as well as I do. I'm not sitting here lecturing tonight. You know as well as I do. But it's astonishing how these filthy Republicans, even after the main butchers are gone, even after these torture sons of bitches are gone, the people who have utterly destroyed the term law and order in this country, even after they've departed, these Republican zombies continue by trying to make sure that the perpetrators are not caught, prosecuted, and dealt with. I don't know why I find that a surprise.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. You know, the incompetence of the Bush crime family is so massive. The damage they did is so incalculable at this point. It's going to take years. We've already decided on that. But our military affairs correspondent sent us here's something else from the Washington Post. You know, Obama's plans to determine the fates of the 245 people still held at Guantanamo quickly and close the prison there, close the torture chambers in the rooms and the murderous mayhem that Bush and Cheney brought to this country's soul. Well, those efforts by Obama got a setback last week when incoming legal and national security officials, who, by the way, according to the Washington Post, were barred until the inauguration from examining classified material about these detainees. Huh? Oh, we're going to cooperate in the transition. Remember when the bastard said that? Yeah, right. Anyway, these security officials now have discovered that there were no comprehensive case files on many of the detainees. Nothing. No case files. No record of where they'd been picked up, what they were charged with, how long they've been held, what their medical histories are, what their arrest record or detainee record consisted of, what they had talked about, how they were treated. Nothing. In other words, the whole thing, the entire thing, was a Bush PR effort. Look what we're doing. Look what we're doing. We got detainees. These are, what did Cheney say not that long ago? These are the hardcore. These are the dregs. These are the ones that are really dangerous. Instead of finding case files on these torture prisoners that we've been holding, incoming national security officials found that information on individual prisoners is, quote, scattered throughout the executive branch, end quote. Now, that order that Barack Obama signed last Thursday, ordering the prison closed within a year, and the cabinet-level panel named to review each case of these 245 remaining people separately, will now have to spend its initial weeks and maybe months scouring the corners of the federal government in search of relevant material. God damn. Don't you just hate these people, what they did? The astonishing arrogance of these bastards. Several former Bush administration officials, according to the Washington Post, agreed that the files are incomplete and that no single government entity was charged with pulling together all the facts and the range of options for each prisoner. They said the CIA and other intelligence agencies were reluctant to share information. Oh, for Christ's sake, are we still using that as an excuse for the Bush crime family's unbelievable criminal incompetence? I guess we are. And these officials said that the Bush administration's focus on detention and interrogation made preparation of viable prosecutions a far lower priority. Do you realize what's being said there? The Bush administration's focus on detention and interrogation made preparation of viable, i.e. reasonable, prosecutions, the euphemism is a far lower priority, which means it's impossible. Now, how do the right-wing crazy bastards in this country, which is every Republican in government, I don't care if he's in the military, the CIA, the House, the Senate, the judicial branch, it matters not. Do you know how these bastards are reacting? A former senior official with the Bush crime family said that after promising quick solutions, the Obama administration is now, quote, backpedaling and trying to buy time, end quote, by blaming the predecessor, the Bush crime family. Oh, like none of this is true, huh? Unless political appointees decide to overrule the recommendations of the career bureaucrats handling the issue under both administrations, this freak predicted, the new review will reach the same conclusion as the last, that most of the detainees can be neither released nor easily tried in this country. This is what the Bush crime family has created. A literal area for non-persons. Just like the Soviets, only with far more clarity and determination than the Soviet bureaucrats ever had. Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these people. Oh, forget Bush. He was just a little pissant in all this. But Cheney and Rumsfeld and Ashcroft and all these people who took their lessons, not just from the Nazis and how to disseminate lies and terror, but took heavy-duty lessons from the Soviets on how to create black prisons and gulags and torture rooms and torture chambers. And where did they learn? They learned it back in the 80s. They had just all sorts of time to practice in Central America with Negroponte and Elliot Abrams and all the rest of these swine, these scum. So now we have a situation where, arguably, the people can't be tried. You might want to make the argument they can't be released. They can't continue to be detained unless we want to give up even the slimmest pretense of being a nation of laws or having any sort of ethical imperative on how we deal with the rest of the world. If we want to give it all up, okay, just keep them there forever until they go mad or we figure out a way to kill them and without anybody knowing. That's the Soviet style. Obama officials say they want to make their own judgments about these detainees because the former Bush thugs are saying, quote, all but 60 who have been approved for release, assuming countries can be found to accept them, are, quote, either high-level al-Qaeda people responsible for 9/11 or bombings or were high-level Taliban or al-Qaeda facilitators or money people, end quote. That's according to a former official in the Bush crime family who, like all the rest, insist on anonymity because they're not authorized to talk to reporters about such matters. No, I guess not. This freak, this former Bush freak, acknowledged that he relied on Pentagon assurances that the files were comprehensive and in order, rather than reading them himself. So the Pentagon says that would be the holdovers from Rumsfeld. They say, oh, no, these people are guilty. Don't worry about it. The files are all in order. We've seen the files. Everything's cool. This is not a mistake. This is not. Blah, blah, blah. And rather than saying, oh, let me see that, this guy cleared to make these kinds of decisions and be in on this kind of information, said, well, you know, I trust my Republican-controlled Pentagon. So I just said, nah, pass. Okay. So Obama officials said they want to make their own judgments. They want to see this stuff. One senior official in the Obama administration said, quote, the consensus among almost everyone is that the current system is not in our national interest and not sustainable. But it's clear that we can't clear up this issue overnight, partly because the files, quote, are not comprehensive. Jesus God, they've done such a bad thing to this country. Another former Pentagon official in the Bush crime family, also speaking under terms of anonymity, said that most individual files on these detainees are heavily summarized dossiers that do not contain the kind of background and investigative work that would be put together by a federal prosecution team. Do you understand that? The dossiers, they're not even investigative files. The dossiers on these captives, these detainees, would be something like this man was turned over to U.S. forces in Afghanistan by a former Northern Alliance warlord who has since gone back to the Taliban. He told us that this detainee had, in fact, served with the Taliban. We have no way of verifying this. We paid the Northern Alliance warlord, who is now back with the Taliban, the bounty of $25,000 American, and he just disappeared back into the mountains of Afghanistan. But in the meantime, we have this rat bastard. He looks suspicious, doesn't he? Look at his hat, look at his beard, and look at the way he insists on having the Quran and praying six times a day. So obviously he's a criminal. Are we going to release him? Well, of course not. That's now on that, you see, after it with some of these detainees, 7 goddamn years in solitary confinement. On that basis, the Barack Obama administration is supposed to be able to make comprehensive decisions about these detainees. This Bush crime family is the worst thing that ever happened to this country.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's 10 before the hour. Regarding the Guantanamo chaos, fiasco, and again, it was nothing but a place where certain members of the Bush administration, like Negroponte, like Elliot Abrams, like Poindexter, like Cheney, could indulge their sadosexual fantasies. I swear I believe that. I swear I do. And also to use Guantanamo as a PR front to show us gullible Americans terrified out of our goddamn minds that the Bush crime family was protecting us. Yeah, sure they were. Some stats from Prairie 2. According to the military's own records, only 8% of those who were held at Gitmo were actual, quote, terrorists, end quote. Not surprising, since 90% of those held there were bought from warlords and other stellar individuals for a bounty. There have been only a little over 800 prisoners. 8% comes out to 64 terrorists. This happens to be exactly how many prisoners that the Bush crime family has released that they claim have returned to the battlefield. I'm not going to explain it. You get it. Jesus God. I don't know. I think we all understand something. And this is going to be the hard part in trying to get this country back on the rails again, since the Bush administration has taken us completely off the rails. It's going to take forever. It really is. The financial mess, the environmental mess, the military mess, the global perception of us mess. Did I mention the economic mess? Yeah. I don't know what Barack Obama. I really admire the man. I truly do. If he turns out to be a corporate Nazi whore, at this point, I don't even care. I admire the fact that he had the courage to say, okay, I'll do it. I'll straighten this out. And I don't think he's going to turn out to be a Nazi corporate whore, whatever I just said a moment ago. I really don't think he is. I think the man is dedicated to the proposition that we could do much better as a country, as a society. I believe that. If I turn out to be wrong, I'm wrong. Now, I realize, and I'm going to get to it right after the break, the missile strikes in northwestern Pakistan, two attacks that have killed 14, 18, 20, 35 people. Take your pick once again, but the missile strikes did occur. Bill from Ottawa writes, you might want to scratch what I said earlier about having hope for Obama, giving him a chance. He just killed 20 people, made his bones. Good for him. He's in the club now. Don't you love the way they write this crap? Pakistan has long argued that such strikes are counterproductive and are a violation of its sovereignty. Pakistan has long argued that such airstrikes are a violation of their sovereignty? Argued? When Hamas shoots rockets into Israel, no one ever says that. Argued? Violation of our sovereignty? No one ever says that. No one ever says that Israel, quote, has long argued that such strikes are counterproductive, violation of its sovereignty, end quote. There's nothing to argue here, Bill writes. Nothing. It's very clear. It's a war crime, just like the previous 200 strikes were a war crime. The difference is that this war crime has been committed by the new guy, our guy, the change guy. Personally, I don't give a crap if Obama revises the goddamn Bankruptcy Act. I just want him to stop the killing. Is that too much to ask? What, my name is Barack Obama and I approve this airstrike? Latest reports put the number of dead at 20. All of them are terrorists, of course. Those missiles are smart. Of course, it doesn't matter anyway. Just another bloody, backward, wog, stand country. Kill them all. Bill from Ottawa. Now, before some of us go up half-cocked, and I've got another email here from Cato the Younger in Seattle and Jamie in Chicago. There's also a report from the Washington Post that says it remained unclear yesterday, which was last Friday, whether Obama personally authorized the strike, or was involved in its final planning. It's unclear, but military officials have previously said the White House is routinely briefed about such attacks in advance. So, moratorium's off. Criticize. That's what we're about, or supposed to be about, in a free society. But are we sure? Cato, Jamie, Bill, Malloy, are we sure that Barack Obama authorized these strikes? Or was there a directive under which the military operates that gives them the right, doesn't that sound weird, to send missiles into another sovereign country? That an area of this madness that the Bush crime family has perpetrated on the American public and the rest of the world that Barack Obama hasn't investigated yet. Stay with us. It's about 7 past the hour. Welcome back to the Malloy Program on Nova M Radio. The headlines today were pretty bleak, and according to Prairie 2, our economic advisor, the headlines are understating the job cuts. Bruce writes, "Hey, Mike, the big headline today was that 68,000 jobs were cut by major companies. The Republican response was that this was no big deal. Companies cut jobs all the time. And these cuts, quote, could, end quote, be spread over months or years, weeks, actually. They don't mention that the last week we have numbers for new claims for unemployment were 120,000 for each business day. And that doesn't count all job losses, just unemployment applicants. Today's 68,000 job cuts are from companies that are supposed to be competitive in the new flat earth economy. We cannot outcompete other countries for business, no matter how educated our people, how modern our infrastructure, or how innovative we think we are. Ireland was the poster child for this thinking. While Reagan was dismantling our education system and cutting funding for infrastructure, they were doing the opposite. Ireland was doing great right up until the high-tech industries started to cut back, and Ireland is being deserted now by business and will need to be bailed out by the EU or they will starve. Germany, who operates with union wages, single-payer health care, strict pollution controls, massive solar power projects, import tariffs, high taxes, which protect their business, and so on. In other words, they do everything that the Republicans say would ruin the United States. Germany is the world's largest exporter of manufactured goods, several times the size of China. 60 years ago, Germany was a smoking ruin. But they embraced an FDR-style economy and have prospered. They don't owe China, Japan, and Saudi Arabia $12 trillion. The Republicans have been chipping away at FDR's reforms for the past 60 years until now we are rushing headlong toward the edge of the abyss. How about Ireland or Iceland? Is Iceland still considered a country? I can remember seeing a documentary on the documentary channel, I guess, not that long ago, about the wonderful world of Iceland. I said to Kathy at the time, Jesus God, there's a place to move to. And now it's in chaos. It's burning down. Their banking, their government has resigned, their banking system, their financial system, their real estate market, everything has collapsed into a pile of, I don't know what, iceberg shavings. It's like gone. And these filthy, stinking Republicans here in the United States will tell you all of this is because organizations like Acorn insisted that low-income people have a right to buy a house. Yeah, it's all their fault. Today in D.C., Obama moved to give states a freer hand in curbing greenhouse gas emissions from cars. Seems like a simple thing, doesn't it? Since there is no comprehensive energy policy in this country, since there is no comprehensive policy to really deeply cut emissions from fossil fuels, there's nothing. We are operating in the blind. We won't even follow a protocol put together by other countries who understand how serious this is. In 8 years of Bush, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Worse than nothing. Everything that the Bush crime family has done has been in contravention of everything the rest of the world has tried to do to get a grip on this global climate change. So today, Barack Obama, and included in that, was the Bush administration's insistence that states do not have a right to set standards about what kind of filth comes out of the tailpipes of cars and trucks and buses. They didn't have a right to do that. The Bush crime family wouldn't do it, and they denied the states the right to do it, too. The most notable case, of course, was California. So today, Obama said, no, that's a bunch of hog snot. We're going to go ahead and allow states to do that. And he went on to stress that his goal is to work with car makers on key administration goals like energy independence and combating global climate change. He said, quote, it will be the policy of my administration to reverse our dependence on foreign oil while building a new energy economy that will create millions of jobs, end quote. Now, that sounds like what they've all said. That sounds like what they've said going back to Carter, right? Or back to Nixon, right? Only this guy means it. He means it. He said, America will not be held hostage to dwindling resources. The federal government must work with, not against, states to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. He went on to say, my administration will not deny facts. We will be guided by them. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Guided by facts? Science? So after Barack Obama explained how former presidents swept the problem of our reliance on foreign oil under the rug and ignored it for decades, he outlined his plan for change.
It will be the policy of my administration to reverse our dependence on foreign oil while building a new energy economy that will create millions of jobs. And we hold no illusion about the task that lies ahead. I cannot promise a quick fix. No single technology or set of regulations will get the job done. But we will commit ourselves to steady, focused, pragmatic pursuit of an America that is freed from our energy dependence and empowered by a new energy economy that puts millions of our citizens to work. First, we must take bold action to create a new American energy economy that creates millions of jobs for our people. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Plan before Congress places a down payment on this economy. It will put 460,000 Americans to work with clean energy investments and double the capacity to generate alternative energy over the next 3 years. It will lay down 3,000 miles of transmission lines to deliver this energy to every corner of our country. It will save taxpayers $2 billion a year by making 75% of federal buildings more efficient. And it will save working families hundreds of dollars on their energy bills by weatherizing 2 million homes.
Oh, wait. Where's the talk about switchgrass and acorns and pineapples and corn? Mr. President, where's all that talk about, you know, you got to feed America and you can fill up your tank. Where's that? Where's that part? Oh, that part was just garbage nonsense.
Ah.
And we're not going to have any garbage nonsense where it concerns this particular subject. We may have garbage nonsense where it concerns other subjects that Barack Obama may address, although I'm beginning to kind of doubt it. You know, again, he's not a socialist Jesus Christ who can take his mighty swift sword and lop off the heads of the corporatists who have been weaseling their way into this, into the running of this country since Eisenhower. Eisenhower warned against it. When was Eisenhower's final speech? 1959? What is that? 50 years ago? So a lot of people on the left are waiting, you know, well, Barack Obama's got to come in and cut off the head of the dragon on day one, or, okay, at least by day seven, okay, but he's got to do it. We can be critical of Barack Obama's plans. We can be critical if he ordered an airstrike on Pakistani territory. We can be critical of that because Barack Obama understands, I think. I don't think. I mean, I know he's so much smarter than I am. What an odd feeling to have a president once again who's smarter than I am. But Barack Obama understands that a nuclear-armed Pakistan, the last thing the rest of the world needs to have happen is to have a nuclear-armed Pakistan come under the control of religious insane people like the Taliban apparently is, kind of like our Republican Party. And he knows that. And he also knows that the quickest way to boost the ascendancy of these terrorist sons of bitches, these Taliban religious nutballs like our Republican Party, is to continue to throw missiles into Pakistan territory. Because eventually the people of Pakistan will say, that's it, we've had enough, let's go fight the great Satan. Alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it. Things are tough all over on Earth. Don't know much about history. Don't know much about don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love
ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
21, God, that reminds me of Bush. 21 past the hour. Obama continues to explain at his signing today his energy plan, and he urges Congress to finally act on behalf of the American people, the economy, the viability of the U.S. auto industry, the environment, national security, you know, those things that should have been acted on, oh, I don't know, 25 years ago? Okay, 20? All right, 15? Okay, 10? All right, at least 5. Remember, the president only proposes, Congress disposes. Okay, we will play the second Barack Obama cut here in just a moment. Obama continues to explain his energy plan, and he says this.
By passing the bill, Congress can act where Washington has failed to act over and over again for 30 years. We need more than the same old empty promises. We need to show that this time it will be different. This is the time that Americans must come together on behalf of our common prosperity and security. Second, we must ensure that the fuel-efficient cars of tomorrow are built right here in the United States of America. Increasing fuel efficiency in our cars and trucks is one of the most important steps that we can take to break our cycle of dependence on foreign oil. It will also help spark the innovation needed to ensure that our auto industry keeps pace with competitors around the world. We will start by implementing new standards for model year 2011 so that we use less oil and families have access to cleaner, more efficient cars and trucks.
Gee, that's only 2 years, President Obama. The Republicans said The Republicans said, what, 11 years? Not till 2020. Can it be done? Obama then chided former administrations for wrong choices, inaction on energy and the environment.
The federal government must work with, not against, states to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. California has shown bold and bipartisan leadership through its effort to forge 21st century standards, and over a dozen states have followed its lead. But instead of serving as a partner, Washington stood in their way.
Uh-huh.
This refusal to lead risks the creation of a confusing and patchwork set of standards that hurts the environment and the auto industry. The days of Washington dragging its heels are over.
Oh.
My administration will not deny facts. We will be guided by them. We cannot afford to pass the buck or push the burden onto the states. And that's why I'm directing the Environmental Protection Agency to immediately review the denial of the California waiver request and determine the best way forward. This will help us create incentives to develop new energy that will make us less dependent on the oil that endangers our security, our economy, and our planet.
The Environmental Protection Agency he's directing to immediately review the denial of the California waiver. Let's see, Environmental Protection Agency, that's right. It was set up by, of all people, wasn't it, Dick Nixon, to protect the environment. And subsequent Republican administrations have made sure that it became nothing except, nothing more nor less than a repository for Orwellian newspeak. Remember Christy Whitman being forced, she claims, to declare that Lower Manhattan was now okay to go back there and breathe the air. And now as a result, how many tens of thousands of people are waiting for that first X-ray that shows lesions on their lungs? This is what the Bush crime family has done. Obama sums up this phase of his energy plan.
Finally, we will make it clear to the world that America is ready to lead. To protect our climate and our collective security, we must call together a truly global coalition. I've made it clear that we will act, but so too must the world. That's how we will deny leverage to dictators and dollars to terrorists.
Amen.
That's how we will ensure that nations like China and India are doing their part, just as we are now willing to do ours.
Now willing.
It's time for America to lead, because this moment of peril must be turned into one of progress. If we take action, we can create new industries and revive old ones. We can open new factories and power new farms. We can lower costs and revive our economy. We can do that, and we must do that. There's much work to be done. There is much further for us to go. But I want to be clear from the beginning of this administration that we have made our choice. America will not be held hostage to dwindling resources, hostile regimes, and a warming planet. We will not be put off from action, because action is hard. Now is the time to make the tough choices. Now is the time to meet the challenge at this crossroad of history by choosing a future that is safer for our country, prosperous for our planet, and sustainable.
It sounds like a plan, Mr. President.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour. In addition to Barack Obama's plans to insist that the auto industry join the 20th century, even though the rest of the world is moving into the 21st, you know, it's one thing to go to Washington with your hand out. It's something else, again, to realize the error of your ways since going back to the 70s and clean up your goddamn act. And I think Barack Obama is telling the auto industry that it's time to clean up your act. You know, it really, really is. Detroit has been, the city has been just turned into an absolute dead zone because of these bastards. You know, somebody sent me the other day something that talked, where is it? Because it was very, very good at explaining what has happened. Why, for example, is it Toyota is now the number one auto manufacturer in America. Maybe is it on Earth? I don't know. I know it's certainly in America. And one of the points this the writer made in this email was that over the years, the Japanese have opened something like 15 or 12 or something manufacturing plants in the United States. The American auto industry was telling everybody that they couldn't afford the American worker and was outsourcing everything to different countries. Which auto industry now is in better shape? And don't even pollute your mind with the myth put out there that auto workers make $73 an hour, because they don't. They make about $28 an hour, American auto workers. And auto workers for the foreign companies make about 25 or 26. So if a more classic example could be found of the mismanagement of our economy by these corporate titans of industry, I can't think of one. I just can't think of one. Now, in addition to all this other stuff, Dean Baker, writing at Truth Out, talks about how the anti-stimulus crowd is getting desperate. Those are the Republicans. You see them all the time. This meathead John Boehner from Ohio. Ohio, for Christ's sake. Ohio, a state that is about to just be sucked into the earth and disappear. It is what's left in Ohio. What's left except people who are desperate. I don't know what district Boehner's from, but why do the people in Ohio keep sending this useless sack of protoplasm back to D.C., where he goes back and he says, well, now, you know, this stimulus, oh, my God, you know, the best way to stimulate the economy is, you know, to give the rich even more. We want capital gains taxes. We want to make Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy top 1.5% to be made permanent. That'll stimulate the son of a bitch. And back in Ohio, people are starting to get desperate. But there he is. And you know why? As Dean Baker says, the possibility that a young, charismatic new president will push through an ambitious package that begins to set the economy right is truly terrifying to this crew. These Republican zombies. After all, if the economy begins to turn around and has largely recovered in 3 or 4 years, the Republican leadership can look forward to spending most of their careers in the political wilderness. Yeah. President Obama will cakewalk to re-election, and even his designated successor will be able to benefit from the glow of his success. If the New Deal, the FDR New Deal, serves as precedent, Congress will stay in Democratic hands long past the time that the current leaders of the Republican Party start collecting their pensions. They shouldn't collect pensions. They should be eliminated. They are parasites. Dean Baker goes on to say, this explains the need that many Republicans feel to block the stimulus package. This desperation led them to fabricate a report from the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, which purportedly showed that most of the stimulus would not be spent in 2009 or even in 2010. You see, based on this report, they argued that President Obama's stimulus would do little to boost the economy out of recession. The Republicans managed to get a story to this effect in the Washington Post, in addition to extensive coverage in other major news outlets, read TV. The only problem is There was no CBO report. You see what they do? The CBO had done some very preliminary analysis of a package that was loosely modeled on a portion of President Obama's program. This preliminary analysis was done at the request of members of Congress to give them what was available at the time. It was not a full analysis that had gone through the CBO's normal review process. It was not posted on its website where it could be assessed by budget analysts and the general public. In short, this analysis was not ready for prime time. But when you're as desperate as the Republican leadership, you take what you can get. Unfortunately, many in the media have got taken in by this ploy and now have egg on their faces as well. The Republicans are liars. The Republican Party should be banned. Republican leadership should be forced to do hard labor. They should be forced to work in homeless shelters, on soup lines, in food kitchens. That's what they should do for the next 4 years at least, under penalty of going to prison for misrepresenting themselves as people who gave a damn about their oath of office. That's what they should do. Republicans should be put in forced labor. Yes, 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 they should. And the Republican Party eliminated. Let the Democrats be the conservative party, and let's start fresh with the liberal party. The Republicans, they have run their course. You don't agree? Well, then call me up and tell me you don't agree. Especially some of you cowardly right-wingers that can't put a sentence together. Speaking of calling, all right, let's do some calls. You want to do some calls? Come on. Let's start a little bit early tonight, 800-989-1480. I got an email from some crackpot who insists that the Democratic plan is going to do nothing but increase the debt. And it's like, oh, really? It's going to increase the debt? You know, you're absolutely right. What would you suggest, crackpot?
Well, make the Bush tax cuts permanent.
Yeah, that'll help. 800-989-1480. I know you got something to say, so call in. Oh, man. I published at my website today under the Malloy bloggy poo. Some of the myths, right-wing, Republican, which is the same, myths about the stimulus. That, for example, spending is not stimulative. That the stimulus won't create jobs. That permanent tax cuts are the best stimulus. Every single one of those arguments is bogus. Every single one of those arguments has been knocked out of the county, knocked out of the park by people who understand what is necessary to get the economy going. Republicans don't. They are cowardly liars. The only thing they want is more. They want to see the economy go in the tank permanently because that will finally negate Franklin Delano Roosevelt. These are sick sons of bitches. I swear they are. All right, let's go to your phone calls. Barry is calling from Kansas City, listening on Sirius. Barry, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I've been trying to get a hold of, you know, the administration, the transition team, and they just now got the comments of the White House where they don't reject the email because I guess they're... their server is finally working or get it up and running. Right. But anyways, I think it's an excellent idea. You know, that Obama, he plans on spending a lot of money on, roads and bridges. And my point is this, if you don't mind real quick, I'll give you a quick outlay.
Sure. I may have to tell you to hold it and hold you over the break, but go ahead.
Basically what I'm thinking is that, you know, a lot of these, we got a lot of commercial trucks, about 1.5 million of them that travel throughout the U.S. And basically, if just like airports, you know, if you had truck ports every 200 to 300 miles, you could get guys that go from one port to the other port. The stuff could basically, you know, go cross country. No one would have to sleep in their trucks. You'd have no trucks. I don't know if you've ever been out on the highways. You'd have no trucks sitting on the side of the highway.
Runner, wait. I'm not quite getting this, and I want you to repeat it. But can you hold on a second?
Sure, no problem.
All right, let me put you on hold, Barry, and we'll come back right after the break because I want to understand what he's saying here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 10 before the hour. We are talking with Barry. All right, Barry, explain that to me again.
Yeah. Basically, what I was talking about is just, you know, you got airports all over the country.
Right.
And so what I was thinking is, like, if you had, like, what you would call, like, truck ports or whatever, you have these big old trailer yards that are, I mean, you know, they're big because you have, for every truck, you have about maybe at least two trailers. So you'd have to have enough trailer space. I'm talking about throughout the country, you know, spread out. It's about 40 of them because if you're about 200 to 300 miles apart, you know, and you spread them out, and they're away from major cities. And what the deal is basically if a guy, say if you had some freight that was going to go cross country, a guy would pick it up, bring it to a trailer port, he'd drop it off. Then another driver picks it up, he'd go east, bring it about 300 miles, he'd grab another trailer and then go west and then go home. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what does this, it sounds like the old Pony Express, but what does it accomplish?
Well, number one, you wouldn't have any trucks idling, people living in trucks all the time. You know, basically, it's the most inefficient way of, you know.
Oh, I see. So you're saying that the trucks would be moving 24/7 instead of, or 24/6 instead.
Exactly. Not only that, you would actually have the quality of life for the drivers. They would
right.
be getting home every night.
Does that cut into the earnings of the drivers?
Well, the thing is that gets a whole different issue. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of looking at that, but basically, one of the things is you got about 1.3 million drivers that are out here working about 60 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you had them guys working 40 hours a week, I think, you know, you're talking about another 300,000 jobs that you'd create that it's permanent, and then you'd have a lifestyle. And then, you know, there's a lot of ways of looking at it why, you know, you could keep them wages up there, you know what I'm saying, organizing, whatever. And then the other big, the huge plus is when it comes to city traffic, you control the city traffic when the actual trucks actually hit the city because those trailers would be moving across the country 24 hours a day with only a single driver. You don't have two drivers in it like you do now. You know, they have team situations. And they could actually cut down the inefficiency of the highways because you could control the you know the trucks coming into the on a high volume.
Are you a long distance over the road driver?
Actually, I am, but I'm actually an electrician by trade. I was an electrician IBEW for 20 years.
Right.
You know, I worked construction. You know,
But you're a trucker now.
I am. I've been in it for about 4 years.
Okay.
And I've actually been working on this idea for the last 2.5 years when the Bush administration, I've already tried to get a hold of the Inspector General of the DOT because, you know, and they say, well, we're not in the business of fucking building ports. I said, no shit. I mean,
wait, Barry. Barry, we were cool up See, Barry, once again, I know you're listening to us on Sirius, and Sirius doesn't have any language restrictions because they are subscription and it's cable, or I mean satellite. But all right, let me just summarize. It's a good idea, Barry. It really was. And I love hearing from you, and I want you to call in again. But when you do call in, you got to really, 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 really cool it on the language, especially the F word, pal. You know, it just you can't do that. All right? Come on. I know this stuff is, I know, some, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around talking, even if you're a bunch of girls sitting around talking, That's all this program is. We're just a bunch of guys and girls sitting around talking. Right. I got that. And in that context, you know, we can be as potty mouth as we want to. There's only one catch with that, and that is we're using the so-called public airwaves to have our conversation. And as long as we're using the public airwaves to have our conversation, we have to respect somebody else's rules, right? I say it all the time. So just be aware when you call the program, especially if you're listening on XM or Sirius, because I know XM and Sirius, you know, you might think that we're originating with XM or Sirius. We're not. We're originating in a little old powerhouse station out in Phoenix, Arizona, that sets everything up on internet, satellite, and connections with our affiliates. All right? Okay. Do we have time? Yeah, I think we start one more call here. How about Rob or Bob in Tennessee? Bob's listening on the internet. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
I have a question tonight. I was listening to Obama and Clinton at the State Department when they introduced their super negotiators.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two of them, Mitchell and Holbrooke, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Now, as I was listening, one of them, I think it was Holbrooke, but I'm not certain, and maybe you can tell me, as he was acknowledging people in the audience,
mm-hmm.
he acknowledged his old roommate, I think in college, Negroponte.
Oh, no.
And isn't it the Holbrooke who's going to Afghanistan?
Yeah, it is. He's the one that's supposed to...
didn't Negroponte already visit Pakistan?
Well, both places, and set up death squads and terrorist units, which is what... You know, some of us, when we travel around, we set up hardware stores or lunch rooms. Negroponte sets up death squads and torture rooms. I didn't know that Holbrooke. I know Holbrooke's kind of dodgy for me, but I didn't know that he was a good friend of Negroponte's. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, that's my question, because somebody could go back and get that clip. I don't have access, but... And I'm not sure whether it was Holbrooke or Mitchell, but
I don't think it was Mitchell, because Mitchell has been a Middle Eastern envoy before, and Mitchell is Lebanese American to begin with, and Irish American. But I'll see what I can do. Hey, listen, thanks, Bob. We'll chat again. We'll be back after the break, y'all. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Yeah, Negroponte was Holbrooke's roommate and fellow political officer in Saigon, which is now Ho Chi Minh City, way back in 1966 when it was pretty awful. Jesus, God. All right. Well, it's still change you can depend on. That's for sure. From Rachel Maddow's program the other night, NBC News. I think she reported this. Somebody sent me this. I think it was part of the transcript from her program. But regarding those airstrikes on, excuse me, Pakistan, NBC News has learned, according to Rachel, that the strikes did not require specific approval from the White House. Although apparently Obama was briefed on the mission, the strikes were part of a long-running campaign in which the CIA has the authority to plan and launch attacks against al-Qaeda and Taliban targets inside Pakistan without kicking the decision to do that further up the chain of command. Really? The CIA has the authority to wage independent war? Is that right? When in the goddamn hell did that happen? Huh? I thought the Central Intelligence Agency was an intelligence-gathering organization, not a war-making organization. Oh, well, my mistake. Rachel goes on, just to be clear here, the president was brief, but these missile strikes don't require his approval? Doesn't that mean the Obama administration has implicitly signed off on the Bush administration's policy of shooting into Pakistan? Or does this mean the CIA is just fighting its own war over there, regardless of the commander-in-chief? Press Secretary Robert Gibbs would not comment on the missile strikes at his press conference. But ultimately, somebody's going to have to do something about explaining where exactly we are at and where we are at war and under whose terms. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Boy, if it's not Blackwater, it's the CIA, huh? This is, of course, this is another creation of the Bush crime family. War contractors. Even, you know, they can be private contractors or contractors paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. Of course, we never know. We are not allowed to know. See, all the bad guys around the world know exactly how much money goes into the CIA. How do they know that? Because it's their business to know, and they find out. But you and I, who fund the CIA, oh, it's none of our business. Oh, no. And when the CIA decides to put the planet on the brink of a nuclear war because of its insisting on attacking terrorist camps inside Pakistan, until finally Pakistan collapses, the new civilian government collapses, and this crazed Taliban-dominated military in Pakistan takes over, and then what, boys in the CIA, you sons of bitches, then what? Of course, you guys have what you consider to be knife safe, secure hiding places, don't you? While the rest of us stay on the surface of the planet and start breathing in radioactive air. God, I'm sick of this. How in the hell does an order pass from one administration, an order in a right-wing administration like George Bush's, Cheney giving free rein, Rumsfeld giving free rein to the CIA, yeah, shoot anything that moves, we don't care. How does that pass through the end of that filthy Republican regime into the Democratic regime? How does that happen? Barack Obama is the commander-in-chief. Of course, this is all on the assumption, right, that he didn't order the strikes. But I, you know, call it wishful thinking, call it anything you want to call it. I just can't see Barack Obama 1 week into his presidency ordering airstrikes into another country on the orders or the behest or the request of the CIA, which is so far beyond being competent. It has become probably more corrupt than it was in the 70s. Remember the quaint idea that we still, like a bunch of jerks, teach our children in middle school or high school?
Only the Congress can declare war. Only the president is the commander-in-chief.
Remember that? Doesn't that seem quaint and like far away and long ago now? The CIA has a standing order to fire at will, no matter what, no matter where, at whom. It doesn't matter. No, I don't think Barack Obama, quote, made his bones, end quote, with this strike. I'm beginning to think that he was briefed on it probably after the fact, which might be one reason that the press secretary doesn't want to confirm or deny that. Because how does that make the president look? How does that make all of us look? Like we are still run by a gang of goddamn outlaws, which apparently in certain parts of the world we are. Negroponte, the butcher of Honduras, this filthy, blood-encrusted ghoul, still operates somewhere. Everywhere he goes, death squads result. Murder, mayhem, torture. He stinks of it. He's a devil. He's truly a golem, a devil. And way back in 2001, when it became apparent that Negroponte was going to be in the Bush government, it was revealed also that he was good friends with General Colin Powell and a former roommate of Richard Holbrooke. Oh, really? Well, that doesn't mean anything, Mike. That's guilt by association. That's what Republicans do. Really? It's astonishing. Is there nobody in America, in the United States, nobody that would come with a strong recommendation from the political science department at Northwestern, wherever? Someone other than these former killers and blood-soaked bastards who might be able to approach Pakistan on the level that Barack Obama said he wanted them approached. Oh, I may be just getting my bloomers in a wad over nothing, right? This, who knows? Maybe Richard Holbrooke is going to turn out to be a peace-loving, peacemaking, problem solver. where it concerns Pakistan and Afghanistan and the Taliban really getting its hands on nuclear weapons. How long do you think it would take, if that does occur, for the Taliban to decide, like Christian fundamentalists, well, it may be time to go meet God. So let's unleash a few at India, kick their ass on our way out. Let's unleash a few. Let's see if we can get a few within firing range or delivery range to the United States, the great Satan. Let's go after Israel. We might as well get the Russians while we're at it, too. Wouldn't it be? Oh my God! I'm in a nut house. I'm in an insane asylum, and you're here with me too, aren't you, Jewish Seeker? Huh? All right. Look, when we come back after break, let's do some phone calls because I'm going to drive all of us nuts tonight. I feel it.
I'm a weary as hell. Looking good and I'm feeling. Ain't no tongue can tell the words in my head. They fall to the floor. And if God is on our side, he'll stop the next one.
Don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
21 past the hour. Both Reg and Bill sent me from Common Dreams from several years back when this killer ghoul vampire John Negroponte was being appointed U.N. ambassador. Richard Holbrook said, quote, was that what he was being appointed? Wait a minute. Was he being appointed? When Negroponte was picked. Richard Holbrook, who had been U.N. ambassador, said, quote, it's terrific that the administration has appointed a professional like him. He said, it will be good for the U.N., good for foreign service, and I believe it will be good for the United States. Holbrook was saying that about Negroponte, a terrorist, if ever this country has produced a terrorist. I mean, a hands-on, wet-work terrorist. It's this son of a bitch, John Negroponte. I mean, Oliver North was a terrorist, but he was too much of a priss to get his hands wet. But Negroponte? Show me the room. And Holbrook praised him? And they both worked together in Saigon in 1966, and Holbrook praised him in 2001? And now Holbrook is going to be President Obama's special envoy to Afghanistan, Pakistan? Really? Oh, damn. Well, 1966 was 40 years ago. Barack Obama was 7. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe nobody has briefed him. Could that be? Could that be? Did somebody go up to President Obama and say, look, we've really got the guy here for you, William Holbrook. You know, you're going to like this guy. He's been around a long time, and he knows. oh, God. Please don't let this, please don't let any of this be true, all right? All right, back to your phone calls. Where are we? Let me see here. All right, we'll skip back to that topic. Paul is calling from Alabama, listening on Sirius. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike. Listen, real quick, before I get to my point, can you name anything that the filthy Bush family has gotten their hands on that they haven't dirtied or corrupted?
No, nothing. I can't. They've destroyed everything. Now, remember, you're listening on Sirius. Remember, just
yes,
watch your language. Okay.
I called because you had the guy, Barry, who called in. I'm an owner-operator, okay? I own my own truck.
Okay.
I carry my own freight. What he's suggesting would put guys like me out of business.
Well, isn't it also true that a lot of those long-distant hauls are perishable goods? They've got to move across the country fairly quickly, right?
Yeah, those are on team trailers, team trucks, and stuff like that. And they have basically, if you go to this hub thing that he's talking about, what it's going to do is put me and hundreds of thousands of drivers like myself out of business and create this huge trucking monopoly.
Really?
With these companies that are ready to step in, because there's companies trying this
now.
I can name a few, but I'm not going to give them publicity.
Right.
That are trying this, which basically kills my rates and takes money out of my pocket and a lot of guys like myself. His idea is horrible, and it will put a lot of guys like myself on the unemployment line. I got 2 kids. I got a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not one of these guys in financial trouble. I've kept myself pretty good, but I don't want something someone else doing to put me in that kind of mess, you know?
I hear you. All right. Well, thanks. I'm glad. I'm glad, Paul, for the information, because, you know, I don't know squat about this. Thanks a lot, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We got a break here? No? Not yet. TC is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Hey, TC, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. How you doing this evening?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, just fine. Thanks for taking my call, Mike. Yeah, Mike, I want to congratulate you for being wise enough to notice how the Republicans been falsifying reports and stood by and assisted Bush for completely 8 years of putting this country in the bad straits of what the country is in today.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'd like to ask a favor of you, Mike, if you will.
Sure.
Permit me to call back on the show and talk to you, because I'd like for you to know what is happening to some of the Americans secretly that you don't know about. And I don't want to do anything over there that you...
TC? What, he just disappeared? All right, TC. Yeah, we'll talk again. I don't know what happened to TC, but we'll talk again. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
25 before the hour, I got an email here from Jude in Seattle who says, breathe, Mike. Please remember to breathe, inhale and exhale, and remind us, your listeners, to also breathe. We're all in this together. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. We are all in this together. There are certain people, though, who have shown up on the American political stage who truly, I toss around the word vampire a lot, but they are truly like vampires, the undead. Rumsfeld is one. But this Negroponte guy, he's got all the desire to see people dead, as Kissinger does, but none of the intellect of Kissinger, if you understand what I mean. Kissinger is a genius, world-class war criminal. Negroponte is just a Himmler type. And to think that these people are still around. These are the people who are going to eat at the Obama administration from the outside, from the inside. They're going to get their people in there. I mean, what do you do about this? I'm serious. What do you do about this? Here is somebody, Barack Obama, who obviously has a righteous attitude, wants to lead in the proper direction, sees problems, wants to solve them, doesn't understand, I don't think, on a visceral gut level, what an evil section of hell he has now walked into. I have to believe that. I have to believe that. That his idealism is what attracted all of us who were attracted. His refusal to just display cynicism and this snarky, smarmy attitude of all of these Republicans, the sneering, piss on America kind of attitude that every single Republican office holder and just Republican has. See, the piss on America thing even exceeds their fear of what's about to happen to them and their families. It's incredible. So here comes Barack Obama, who is not that. And now we have these creeping, just blood-drinking thugs who are showing up over here and showing up over there. You know, they're working on the inside like Holbrooke, working on the outside like Boehner. Boner. You know, it's going to fail. You're going to fail. Huh. What do you mean? That's spending. We don't believe in spending in the Republican, you know, and Americans are sitting back going, really? You don't believe in spending? How did you do what you've done to us there?
Well, that was Clinton's fault.
Oh, that's right. For a minute there, I forgot. Rush, it is Clinton's fault, right?
Yeah, goddamn right it is.
I mean, and then on the inside comes these well-educated, upper-class white people. Well, President Obama, we certainly do want to see you succeed. You are an historic president here in the United States of America. We do want to see you succeed. So you're going to need our help. You know, we, if you know what I mean, have been running the country for 232 years. And you, if you know what I mean, are just beginning. So here, let us tell you how to do it. You know that's going on. You know that's going on. Yikes. Okay. Inhale, exhale. Yeah, it's easy for you to say, Jude. Every time I try that, I start panting. All right, back to your phone calls. Dennis is calling from California. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Mike. I was just wondering what your thoughts are on the Republican stance on education. The campaign had some Republican anti-education rhetoric. They ridiculed Obama for going to college and, you know, and then the stimulus bill, you know, part of it is to repair schools. And the Republicans just seem to be against public education. I'm confused about that. I mean,
I think they are. We have a freak on radio here in Atlanta, Neil Bortz, who is syndicated, so other people around the country are exposed to this sociopath, another right-wing sociopath. But he refers to them as government schools, which conjures up, I don't know, what does it conjure up? Conjures up something out of a communist country. Yeah, they're government schools, all right. They're run by, you know, counties, school boards. So I guess that makes them government schools, public education. But public education is seen by the Republicans as a drain on the economy because it takes tax money to support the teachers and the principals and the physical plant, whereas private education is a profit center. It doesn't make any difference whether or not our little darlings are educated as long as some miserable weasel is making money on it. You see, you don't make money sitting on a school board. You barely make money as a school teacher or a principal. You put up with all the insanity, the attacks from the hysterical right, the religious nutbags who want to tell you that science doesn't exist. All the answers are found in Genesis. So Republicans are absolutely against education. An educated America, a truly educated America, would eliminate the Republican Party in one election. They would be gone.
But don't these goofballs understand that an educated populace produces wealth and jobs?
It produces wealth for the educated population, an ignorant, uneducated population. Look, I'll go back to what I always go back to, slavery. The most perfect time in America for these, what are now called Republicans. I realize Lincoln was a Republican, but for what is now called Republicans, the most perfect time in America was slavery. Because the production, labor cost was zero. That's what they want. So, no, they don't see an educated population as being a population that produces national wealth because they don't control the national wealth. Where does the national wealth go? It goes to the educated population.
Exactly. I think they're crazy.
They are. They are, Dennis. They're out of their minds.
It's so backwards. I mean, they're thought process is goofy.
It is corrupt. But this is the reason. And listen, I got to move on. Thanks, Dennis.
Okay, sure.
This is the reason that I call for the elimination of the Republican Party. And any way you want to take that, I don't care. Take it any way you want to. Every time I see this boner freak on or this Mitch McConnell on television, I don't know, something happens in my lower abdomen. You know, my transverse colon starts to spasm. I can't stand these people because I know, just like you know, what they're doing to us. And we allow it. Son of a bitch, we allow it to go on. We have a new president, a young man with lots of great ideas and idealism, and he's surrounded by scum, filth, sickness, psychopathology, and not just in the Democratic Party. Just kidding. Nora is calling from, I don't know where Nora is calling from, but she's listening on KTNF, calling about the bombings. Hey, Nora.
Hey there, Mike. I'm a happy camper since they moved your show down.
Oh, you're calling from Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Yeah,
I used to
try to stay up after midnight to hear you, and it was really hard.
Yeah.
Now it's all good.
It
you're
is all
on
good.
At 8 to 11.
All right, now what do you think of the Pakistan bombings?
Okay, well, on Friday when it happened, I called my congressman's office, and they didn't know nothing, but from the reports from TV, I came to conclude they said it was a CIA covert operation that does not require a president's okay.
Then it should be eliminated immediately.
It looks like maybe Barack Obama failed in his first 72 hours to preemptively stop the CIA covert action.
It may be also, Nora, that he had no idea that this program existed. I do not believe for a second that these filthy pigs in the Bush administration sat down with Barack Obama and laid it all out for him. They did not. They did not. Republicans want him to fail. The white power structure in this country wants him to fail. And they will do anything they can, the Republicans, to see that he does fail, including not giving him all the information that he desperately needs. Ten before the hour. Thanks to our crew tonight, Ian Huff, who engineered, Ben Birch, our technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg. All contribute. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Back to your phone calls. excuse me. Jeff is calling from St. Louis, listening on XM. Jeff, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great now. I finally got to talk to you. You're so right on. I mean, I love listening to your program. I listen to you and Randy Rhodes and Tom Hartman all night long, you know, every day.
Man, that's all you need, right?
Yeah, I hear you. I drive a truck, and I got XM, and everything you're saying is just so right on. And it's like, the only thing is, it killed me. Remember how McCain saying, I can get Bin Laden, I know how to get him and all that?
Yeah.
Why don't he tell Barack?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we know why.
He's a Republican, that's why.
Well, you know, John McCain, it's lucky he can find the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning when he wakes up, you know, because his prostate is turning into a little nubbin. Or a big nubbin.
I hear you, man. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I've been seeing the whole thing going down ever since Reagan.
You getting scared?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm frightened for my children more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can live through it. I've been through.
Well, what do you think we ought to do, Jeff?
Honestly?
Yeah.
We need to give Barack a chance. Kick these Republicans in the ass.
Yeah.
Get them out of there. Every year, vote more of them out. Get them out. Eliminate them. Make them a prehistoric animal.
So you seem to agree that our biggest problems right now are the fact that we're just locked down with Republican garbage, and it's going to take forever to get out of it.
They're dumbing down our kids.
Huh?
They're dumbing down our kids. They don't even have the schooling when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the schooling is just going downhill so fast, so bad.
Yeah, I've often because I love my country, I've often thought, you know, I wish I could be proud of the fact that we had two. As I got older, I wanted more than two, but proud of the fact we had two political parties that did good things for the United States. Do you know how long it's been since I felt that way? Probably half a century.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to go back to when I was a kid, and my grandparents would tell me about Republicans, and my parents would tell me about Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I just figured, well, anybody who is in government would be working towards making the country better. Now, I realize now when I look back at the history that was going on when I was a little kid, there was an awful lot of garbage by Republicans going on even then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Joe McCarthy and the House Committee on Un-American Activities and all this stuff. But I guess I wish for a time that only existed in fantasy. And that would be a time when both Democrats and Republicans had the best interests of this country.
Yeah,
as their primary goal. And so I don't know. The reason I asked you what you thought the solution is because I don't have any. I have no damn idea anymore.
No, I hear you.
The best way out of this. Oh, well. Hey, listen, good to hear from you, Jeff. Take it easy, okay?
You too. Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate you checking in. Bill calling from... Ignacio, Colorado, is that right?
Yes.
You're listening on XM. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going today?
It's just going wonderful. how's it going with you?
It's going good, man. I've been doing some research for a paper. I've been on school.
Yeah.
I came across, it's on going back to the Eisenhower taxes, 91% for the top rate. And I kept hearing all these reasons why it's a good thing and revenue. And then I found some stuff that went way back to the beginning, the founding fathers in the beginning of the United States. And they didn't call it income tax, but they taxed the rich in order to avoid a concentration of wealth and power.
Yeah.
And to not have another aristocracy like they had that they just came away from.
That's very true. That's very true. That was the Jeffersonian model. And they wanted to be careful, or it was either Jefferson or Madison, I'm not sure anymore, but they wanted to make sure exactly what you're saying, that this did not wind up with aristocrats and priests and serfs. you know, the three layers of society that so poisoned Europe for so many hundreds of years.
And here we are again.
Yeah, hello.
I mean, I just, you know, it's just, it
bothers. Do you have a solution? What should we do, Bill?
Well, one, I'd raise those taxes, roll back at least the Reagan tax cuts. That's another thing I found, too. Not only did he make it appear that he was giving everybody a tax cut, he dropped that top rate from $400,000 down to $39,000.
Well, you certainly have been doing your research, haven't you?
When I found that, man, I was just like, what? Oh, we've been lying. You know, the lies are just getting really old.
They are. Hey, listen, Bill, I got to go. You sound like a young guy. Hang in there, man. Things are, I hope things do get pulled together. So that people like in your age group, have a good shot. You know what I'm saying? Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you checking in. Well then, happy Monday. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.